I will be reading from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. Wisdom from the Spirit. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Good morning, Vineyard. Good morning to you. Beloved children of the Most High, saints in the kingdom of God, welcome to this morning service. My name is Matthijs ten Dekker. I've been part of this church for quite a while, and it's a privilege to be able to speak to you once more and get that opportunity. Before we start, I have a question for you. Who of you brought their own cup this morning? That's great. That's great. I always wanted to say this from stage. Let's bring our own cup and let's reduce waste together. So this morning is about engaging with Scripture as part of the series from Practicing the Way. So I have another question for you. Who of you brought their own physical Bible this morning? That's great as well. That's my first tip of the morning. Reading from a physical Bible helps you to retain more of what you read and focus on what you read, as John Mark Comer also says. Another question for you. What has God shown you from his word in the past 2 weeks? You don't have to answer out loud if you don't want to, but I think it's a really interesting question that we can ask one another. It's also a tip. When we get to church, when we get to our home groups, when we meet up with people, it's a very simple question. What has God shown you from his word recently? But it's a question that builds a culture of expectation. And it helps us to remind one another that God wants to speak to us, that God speaks through his word. So as I was preparing for this message, I always start a few weeks in advance by thinking about and letting things soak in. And I sat down and I thought, okay, I'm going to preach about engaging with Scripture. How do I engage with Scripture myself? Well, I struggle with engaging with Scripture. I realize that I have trouble maintaining a consistent schedule of reading my Bible. It often slips through. And when I have time or when I have the opportunity, I tend to rush because I tend to squeeze it in like within when the kids go to school and I have to go to work and then there's the Bible reading time and I rush through. Or I just, lack the focus to really engage with the text and it's just another to-do on my list. And yes, I've read my Bible. Great. So maybe you recognize this, maybe you don't. As always, I'm preaching to myself first and then to you, because this message is for me as well. And I really needed to think about, like, how do I want to engage with Scripture? And what habits do I want to build going forward? So the core of this sermon, based on Practicing the Way, is engaging with the Bible means reading the Bible as an apprentice of Jesus, because we know that the author is in the room with us. We can engage with Scripture knowing that the author is in the room with us. And maybe we can just take a step back and appreciate the fact that we can engage with Scripture. You can't engage with Homer about the Iliad and the Odyssey. You can't engage with Shakespeare about his plays. But you can engage with Scripture, because the author is still alive and he's with you when you read his Scripture. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews 4:16 says, "We can freely approach God's throne with confidence. Through Christ and through the Spirit, we can approach the Bible with confidence, because it's God's word." So the path I'd like to take this morning, that we want to follow today, it's based on this book, the words of Eugene Peterson. If you can find anything from him, everything he writes is worthwhile to read. Four things. Scripture as text. It's about learning what God reveals. And the key word there is going to be revelation. The second thing, Scripture as form, following the way of Jesus. And the key word there is discernment. The third one, Scripture as script, playing our part in the Spirit. And the key word there is going to be obedience. And lastly, I try to keep the first things quite short, so we have time to actually practice what I preached, and we are going to read the Bible together. Scripture as text, learning what God reveals. You might actually wonder why we've read a passage about the Spirit when we're going to speak about the Word. Well, the interesting thing is, in this passage, Paul refers twice directly to Scripture. He quotes Scripture, and then he says, "These are the things God has revealed through the Spirit." It's the Spirit who reveals the Word. We need to listen to the Spirit when we read the Word, just as much as we need to read the Word when we try to listen to the Spirit. They go hand in hand. Now, our passage talks about the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God, and it's not so hidden anymore. So, there goes my notes. It talks about things that no man can imagine. This is the book that holds things that no man can imagine. These are the thoughts of God. This is the mind of Christ. It's all in here. And it's the Spirit who reveals those things. So when I approach Scripture, when I try to engage with the Bible, I really need to think about my attitude. Think about the attitude you read the Bible with. Do you read the Bible with expectation? Do you read the Bible for revelation? Ask the Spirit to reveal what he has for you in Scripture. And as I said, for me, it's often a check, a to-do list, or even an obligation. So for me, it's always, it was really handy to see the tips that Practicing the Way gave. So I have some tips, I think they're on the screen, going to be on the screen. Just like the idea of planning your reading time. For me, I had to sit down and go through my week. When do I have time to read the Bible? Usually my Monday mornings are quite full, so I try to read the Bible early in the afternoon. But on Wednesday, I have a free morning, and I can start my working day with reading Scripture. But it's different every day. And I need to plan it because I want to have enough time to be unhurried. I really like that word from Practicing the Way, unhurried time with God. And then another thing is about subtraction, not addition. We can try to add things to our life, and Bible reading can be one of that. But what can we actually cut out to make room for Scripture? Are the useless or unhealthy things that we can cut out? Mondays are my days alone at home. So I tend to eat my lunch sitting on the couch and watching Netflix. So I've decided to, starting tomorrow, stop watching Netflix during lunch, cut it out, and sit on the table, eat my lunch, and read the Bible. So there's an accountability point for you. Next week, you can ask me if I did it and how it went. And then there's the core thing, the attitude. Realize that the author is in the room with you. So to help you start reading the Bible for revelation, what God wants to show you, if you have little time, I have a basic plan for you. It's going to be really practical. Having 7 minutes with God in your morning when you have time. It's from the lady who started Navigators in the Netherlands 75 years ago. She came up with this. It's totally free to use. I'm not going to explain it much. I'm just going to read it for the people who are listening to the podcast. You start by preparing 1.5 minutes. Just sit, breathe, be silent, pray a short prayer. Lord, help me to receive what you want to give. Read the Bible for 4 minutes. Just read and reread a few verses from the Bible. And ask these two questions while you read, because reading is also a conversation with God. Lord, who are you? Lord, what do you want me to do? And then for 2.5 minutes, just pray. Pray personally for yourself, for people around you, and for the world. So that's a very basic plan. 7 minutes in the morning. It helps you to get started. The second thing to highlight, scripture as form, following the way of Jesus. So what do we mean by form? Form is the shape of your life. As the great John Mark Comer says, we tend to read the Bible for information, but we need to read the Bible for formation. Most of what I will be saying to you will be from John Mark Comer, so if you're doing practicing the way, you'll recognize a lot of things I say. That's just the way it is. Reading the Bible should show us and tell us how to live our lives. It shouldn't put more things in our head. It should put things in our heart and in our hands and feet. We need to immerse ourselves in the way of Jesus because we need to counteract the ways of the world. We are bombarded with the ways of the world every day. And when I read the news, I often get discouraged for everything that's going on. But recently I realized that these days, every day, it's getting more and more clear and visible what the ways of the world bring about. Recently, I read about King Ahab in 1 Kings. He was an evil king, and he saw a vineyard. He wanted to have the vineyard. Can I have your vineyard? No, you cannot have my vineyard. Okay, he starts to pout, and eventually his wife helps him to get the vineyard. And it's through deception and force and injustice. Now, if you swap the idea of a vineyard for Ukraine or West Bank or Greenland, you have some of the rulers of today. And a few chapters later, King Ahab is facing a great army from a rival king threatening to attack his kingdom. And he decides he wants to consult the Lord. So he calls for 400 prophets of the Lord, asking them, is it okay if I go to battle? Should I attack? And they're all jubilant and excited and ecstatic, and they say, yes, the Lord says, you will win this battle. Go forth, our king. And then someone says, are there more prophets? I think there's someone else. And he says, yes, I really don't like him. I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. And that's the prophet Micaiah. So they send for Micaiah. Micaiah comes, and indeed, he says, you are not going to win this battle, our king. He even says, our Lord still wants you to go to battle because you are wicked and he wants you to die. He wants you to perish. Now, there's a lot more to this passage and this story than we have time to discuss, but personally, I just couldn't shake the idea of a ruler greedily taking everything he wants through force and lies and deception, surrounded by people cheering him on. Even 400 people speaking, claiming to speak on behalf of the Lord, saying, yes, this is very good, let's go, yeah. And it happened then. And it happens now. So this is why we read and why we need to immerse ourselves in the ways of the Lord, to discern and counteract the ways of the world. Because the ways of Jesus are not the ways of the world. It's not the way of the so-called protectors of our Christian heritage that we often hear, who bully and exclude and trample the weak. The last song we sang, this was about the ways of the Lord, the ways of Jesus, about peace, suffering, friendliness. So engaging with Scripture means actively seeking out the way of Jesus so he can shape the form of your life. And you can do that in the Old Testament as well, because we read the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament and through the lens of Jesus, as we've heard last week. And then there's the question, why would we do that? Well, when we return to our presence, it says that we gain maturity and wisdom and even glory. And my personal conviction is that following the way of Jesus is the ultimate way to gaining ultimate freedom. As it says in the passage, you are judged by no one. Now, mind me, you will be judged. People will judge you when you follow the way of Jesus. But you will be free from judgment. As Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So think about it. What or who shapes the form of your life? And if it's not Jesus, and if it's not the Bible, then what? And what would you need to do or change in your Bible reading so that it actually has an impact on the way you do, and it helps you to engage with Scripture in a way that really shapes your life, your practical daily, day-to-day life? Thirdly, Scripture as script. It's about playing our part in the Spirit, playing our part in the kingdom, playing our part in the plan of God. Now, often in today's world, we think that more information equals more transformation. You heard that in universities, in schools, in churches. We impart information. You know, listen to this podcast, watch this very informational video, read this book. But way too often we get very little transformation from a big barrage of information, because there's something missing. The correct equation is information and application bring about transformation. You're probably familiar with the parables of the parable of the two builders from Jesus in Matthew 7. One builds his house on the rock, the other builds his house on sand. So which house keeps standing? The one on the rock. So there's this question, what does Jesus say is the difference between the one who builds on the rock and the one who builds on sand? He says, the one who builds on sand is the one who hears my words. The one who builds on rock is the one who hears my words and puts them into practice. That's the difference between building on sand and building on rock. The key word here is obedience. This is obedience. We are living in a kingdom under a king. And King Jesus asked for obedience, because he has destined us for glory. You need application, doing the stuff, as we say in Vineyard. doing what Jesus said and did, to reach transformation. So when you read your Bible, don't ask like, oh, what do I think of this? What is my opinion of this text? No, think about, what is the Spirit prompting me to? Listen to the Spirit. Have him impart his wisdom very personally for you. Eugene Peterson says in his book, ask yourself, what is there to obey in this text? So engaging with the Bible means putting into practice the way of Jesus, your King, so that we and you can play a part in his kingdom, in his plan. And that's the kingdom of restoration, of love, of justice, and hope. I would like to be part of that. So we've talked about Scripture as text, learning what God reveals. The key word there was revelation. We looked at Scripture as form, following the way of Jesus. And the key word there was discernment, the way of Jesus versus the ways of the world. And we talked about Scripture as script, playing your part in the Spirit. And the key word was obedience. Now to finish off, I'd like to share with you one other practical tool. I've shared it before, and I'd like to repeat it now. And then we are going to take some time to practice and actually engage with the Bible. An easy-to-remember way of digging a bit deeper when you read the Bible are these four questions. What does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about people? What does this mean for me right now? And who will I share this with? Now, there are, of course, many ways to read the Bible and study the Bible and meditate on the Bible. And practicing the way offers some excellent choices and excellent ones. But I'd like to add this one to the mix because it's easy to remember and it's easy to pass on. You can sit down with someone, pick a passage, go through these four words or three questions, these four questions, and have a good time digging into the Bible. And you can easily pass on this method and help other people read their Bibles. So this morning, I'd like to take roughly 15 minutes to actually do this. We are going to practice this, reading the Bible. What are we going to do? I want you to find one or two other people to form a small group. Four is really the maximum. If you're with five, split up. Take a few moments to pray. Invite the Spirit, and then read in your Bible the passage that will appear on the screen. Go through the four questions together and see where the Spirit leads you. The last two questions, of course, are personal for you and your life. But it's really encouraging to share and hear from one another. Like, what are the things that you took from this passage? Now, if you're an extreme introvert, that's possible. Feel free to read the passage on your own and go through the questions by yourself. But make sure that you actually... I didn't know any other words to put it, but it sounds a bit negative to have orderly thoughts. Just don't go in a stream of thoughts, but actually try to answer the questions. Maybe writing down will help. Just don't get lost in your thoughts. If you're new here, or for the first time, you are most welcome to join in. Find some people who look friendly and join in. Because you have something to contribute as well. Now, maybe you're here and you feel like you're not really a believer, or you're not really a Christian, or you're not sure if you follow Jesus or want to follow Jesus. You are most welcome too. I genuinely believe that the Bible speaks to and through anyone. So you have something to contribute as well.